Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Good morning. Welcome to a Thursday morning edition of Conan Hensley. That's Ryan G. Hensley. I'm Grant L. Cohn. Thank you for coming. Practice training camp starts in like less than 2 weeks, and we're going to preview it today. The training camp battles that we're going to be monitoring, and we're going to predict who's going to win each one because that's what training camp's all about. Ryan is in the heat. But it's not 90 degrees yet. Probably by the end of the show, it'll be like 104. How you doing?
I'm good, man. It's supposed to be 112 out here, man. It's insane, brother. I don't know what's going on. Too hot.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get right into it. Position battles, starting with the one that used to be the juiciest. Quarterback. Mm-hmm. There was a full-blown backup quarterback competition, and it was rigged. It was rigged last year, I say. This year, they have another backup quarterback competition. Joshua Dobbs and Brandon Allen, who have like a career, like four career wins between them, maybe five. What do you think? Oh, don't forget Tanner Mordecai, who played at Wisconsin. Yeah. What do you think of this quarterback room and who's going to emerge as the best backup?
Well, so the funny thing about this exercise is this is pre training camp, preseason, so it could all change. We'll see what happens. You know, that's why you compete. That's why you go out there in training camp and preseason to earn spots. But this is just based on what we know at this point. And so based on what I know at this point, Josh Dobbs was brought in here to be the backup quarterback based on his contract, the level of play. He actually, you know, he did good for Arizona, actually. He won a hell of a game with the Vikings. He didn't even have practice. He just went in there and won. So I think Josh Dobbs actually does have potential to be a good backup quarterback. He's highly intelligent, and I think he's brought in here based on his contract. I think he's guaranteed like 1.2, something like that. I think he's your backup quarterback, unless something strange happens. I think the real battle is between Brandon Allen and Tanner Mordecai, but Brandon Allen's probably going to win that thing. So this quarterback position to me is kind of predictable and boring. I think who we think is going to win is going to win. Now, I've heard people talk about Tanner Mordecai being the guy, and so we'll see what happens in the preseason. It's always possible that he could surpass Brandon Allen or even Josh Dobbs, but to me it seems like Josh Dobbs has it unlocked, and then it'll be Brandon Allen. Tanner will probably make practice squad.
Josh Dobbs in his career, 3-11 with a quarterback rating of 77. He's 29. He's probably the best backup on the team, but like if you're having a competition between Josh Dobbs and Brandon Allen, there are no winners in that competition. I think it's just who lost less. So what I am interested in Tanner Mordecai, honestly. I mean, I haven't seen that much of him, but the way I see it is, dude, Dobbs is 29, Brandon Allen's 32. Neither one has any potential. Maybe they could have a couple good games on a great team, but I don't think either one's really good enough. It's too bad they don't have Trey Lance anymore. And I'm curious to see what the next young guy they brought in has, because, I mean, Brock Purdy was just close to being an undrafted free agent. It's kind of like the same blueprint template they used to get him that they've now used to get Tanner Mordecai. Is he good? He's got a lot of experience. He's got a little athleticism. Sounds better than those two guys. I want to see Tanner.
He is the closest comp to Brock Purdy out of all these guys. So if you're looking for a quarterback that's similar to your starter – that probably is Tanner Mordecai. Now, Josh Dobbs does have a lot of, he has good arm talent. He's very athletic. So in that regard, I think he's better than Tanner. Well, Tanner can throw the ball, actually, man.
Tanner can throw the ball.
He can't throw the ball. Brandon Allen has the biggest, the pea shooter out of all these guys. He can't really throw the ball at all. He's probably the least talented out of all these guys. He just knows the game, and he's been doing this for a long time as a backup quarterback. So it's possible Tanner Mordecai does surpass these guys. He's the most Brock Purdy-like out of all of these guys. So if that's what they're looking for, maybe he has a chance, man. I would love to see it. I love stories like that. So we'll see. I'm just taking an easy, simple route at this point, but that could all change at training camp and preseason.
Like, let me tell you what I've seen from Dobbs in practice. I've seen him a few times, and I've seen him in games. He's very prepared. He knows where to go with the ball. It's not like he drops back and he's Sam Darnold and he's like, No. He knows exactly where to go with the ball, and he doesn't try to do too much. He'll scramble when he needs to. He'll check it down when he needs to. In fact, he's quite content to check it down. That's all good. It's when he needs to throw the ball like 10, 15, 20 yards down the field, which is kind of like the bread and butter of this passing game, the play action pass over the middle. I just don't think he's that accurate at that throw. I don't think he's quite accurate enough. I think you're going to see him miss those throws, which Kyle's going to dial up. And when you miss those throws over the middle, a little behind, a little high, those are picked. So I don't know like what offense he was exactly executing in Arizona, but if it's a lot of short throws and quick decisions, he's money. But then he went to what was it, Minnesota? And he was in more of like a Kyle Shanahan style offense, and it worked well at first. But then he had a game where he had like four picks. Like, yeah, I think there could be some of that with him here just in this kind of a system. So I really want to see what the next Brock Purdy's got. Brock Purdy 2.0. Tanner, no pressure.
Hey, in fairness to Josh Dobbs, I mean, Brock Purdy had a game with four picks too, right?
True.
So I mean, it happens. I think Josh Dobbs is super intelligent, but like Tanner Mordecai, when like based on everything I've looked at, really good arm. He's very Brock Purdy-ish. He's a good athlete. He's a little bigger. And maybe the one thing when we go through this whole entire roster together right now, hopefully, you know, I might make some predictions based on roster politics, but hopefully what the Niners have learned from Brock Purdy is to ignore roster politics and just let the best man play. Maybe that's one lesson Brock Purdy has taught Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, to just best player wins. That would be great. And if that's Tanner Mordecai, fantastic.
One more thing before I move on to a different position. I feel like, Tanner Mordecai is supposed to be like the next Brock, similar to Brock. Dobbs is supposed to be like the substitute for Trey Lance. They gave him Trey Lance's number. It just feels like they traded Trey Lance for no reason. Well, the reason was that he was a distraction, even though he wasn't one. Mm. And now they're like, boy, it'd be nice to have that skill set on the team again. Maybe if we just squint hard enough and give Dobbs number five, it'll be like we have Trey Lance here. Like, no, you'd be better off with Trey Lance, but we'll see what Dobbs has.
Yeah. And one point real quick too, Josh Dobbs, even though he's guaranteed, I can't remember what it is. I should have looked it up. I think it's 1.2. I mean, they cut Nate Sudfeld with a guaranteed one something as well. So, you know, anything's possible. Maybe it's not Josh Dobbs. If I had to bet, I would say Josh Dobbs is your backup quarterback, but anything's possible. It's definitely not going to be Brandon Allen. Brandon Allen's not going to jump up to the number two spot.
You say that. He took most of the second team reps in OTAs and minicamp, and Brian Griese just gushed about how good he is. So Brian is watching the show right now, being like, oh, really, Ryan? Oh, really? Watch.
I got in trouble for calling Brock Purdy dink and dunk last season with the fan base. Brandon Allen is the definition of dink and dunk. I've seen him in person, and his arm is just not even close to the rest of these guys. So I would be very doubtful. I hope
quite
not.
Doubtful.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
What's his record? Anyone like two wins? He has like two wins in his career.
Yeah. And Dobbs has three. So again, really looking forward to the winner of this competition. It's like last year's competition, but way, way, way worse. Okay. Running backs. Christian McCaffrey, the starter for now. For now. But he probably won't practice that much. He just got an extension. It's going to be about Elijah Mitchell, Jordan Mason, Isaac Garendo. What do you see in this competition?
This one was interesting to me because the 49ers did draft two running backs. Well, they drafted one, and they signed an undrafted free agent in Cody Schrader. They also have Patrick Taylor on the team. I actually expected early before the draft that Elijah Mitchell, I was like, man, he might be moved this year because he is in the last year of his contract and he is injured all the time. And if they can get like a sixth rounder for him, especially after drafting or getting two more running backs, you would think that possibly he's a candidate to be moved. But based on what I've heard from all the reports is that Isaac hasn't looked really great. Now, my concern with Isaac, though, is the 49ers traded 2 fifth-round picks to move up into the fourth to get him. And are they really going to just move him to the practice or try to move him to the practice squad? Someone else will probably sign him, first of all. So it feels like roster politics-wise, you don't trade 2 fifths and go up and get him in the fourth and then not put the guy on the team. But it sounds like everyone else is saying Cody Schrader looks better than Isaac Garrido. So I'm very curious about this running back spot, man. I think Elijah Mitchell, because we haven't seen great things so far from Isaac and Cody, and it's still early, that they probably do keep Elijah. And Jordan Mason seems to be on the uptick, right? Like if he can improve his pass blocking, he was a fantastic runner. Seems like he's doing well as a receiver as well. So you would think Christian, Elijah, and Jordan would be locks, and Niners usually keep 4. So is it going to be Isaac or Cody? Are they really going to cut Isaac after spending that much draft capital on him? I'm curious, man. I'm not sure, but I'm curious to what you see because you've been there and watched him in practice.
Well, I feel like I've been saying this for years, but I really feel like Jordan Mason is separating himself from the pack. The knock on him is like, sure, he averages 6 yards a carry, but he's not really doing anything for you on passing downs. Well, that's not true. That's Elijah Mitchell. Elijah Mitchell doesn't catch passes. He doesn't really block. He's not really doing anything for you on passing downs. Mason catches passes in OTAs and minicamp. Brock threw a ton of check down passes to Mason near the sideline, over the middle. He catches the ball away from his body. He seems to have a lot of confidence in his hands. That's a really good backup running back. It just seems like they want someone faster than Mason. For whatever reason, they want someone with more explosion. Fine. Yeah. Arian Foster was really good in this system, and he was slow as hell. It seems to me like the speed is great if you have it, but what you really need is vision. Because it's not one set hole that you're trying to gouge in the defense. It could open anywhere on an outside zone play. So Mason has it. Mitchell has it. He just his body's breaking down. McCaffrey has it. Garrido, I don't know if he has it. He just seems fast. Maybe he'll get it eventually. But there's like you can kind of tell like with Schrader, he gets the ball in a practice, one cut, and he's in the secondary. And it's like, well, maybe he would have got tackled or something, but not in this practice. And then with Garrido, it's like he gets the ball and it's like hesitation, looking for a hole, running into the back of an offensive lineman, like not really opening up his stride. And it's like, well, I guess you didn't see it, man. I don't know what to tell you. Mason has no hesitation in practice. Mitchell has no hesitation in practice, but Garrido looks like he's figuring out how to play the spot. So to me, if he makes a team, it's going to be because of special teams.
So your prediction, right? I mean, it almost like this brings me back to my original prediction before the draft is that Elijah Mitchell could possibly be moved. Do you think that's a possibility? Because I don't think they want to give up on Jordan Mason. They spent a lot of draft capital for Isaac Garrido, and he has phenomenal, freaky speed. And then Cody Schrader actually looks better from what everyone is saying, and I've watched a lot of film on him, than Isaac Garrido. So do you try to move him to the practice squad and hope somebody doesn't snatch him up? I mean, what do you think? Who's going to make the team?
Well, it'll be interesting to see what Elijah Mitchell does in training camp and preseason because he was just terrible last year, especially in the playoffs. But Kyle loves him.
Yeah.
So I wonder if I don't think Kyle sees Elijah Mitchell like the rest of us do. I think Kyle looks at Elijah as like a warrior who gave his body to the team and never fumbles, and they have to like be loyal to him. It's like, yeah, it's also a meritocracy, and he's not necessarily better than the people he's playing over. So I guess to me, I'm looking closely at him and Garrido. Is either one really going to make like earn their way on this team, or is Schrader better?
Yeah. I mean, from what I see, Schrader looks really good, man. So
he's got the vision.
I would hate to see them cut him and then get snatched up from some on another team. So I don't know what they're going to do, man. Maybe they end up trading Elijah Mitchell. I mean, the thing about Elijah, it does seem like Kyle trusts him and he's reliable. He doesn't fumble, but he is in the last year of his contract. So if you're going to get something for him, now's the chance. And if Isaac and Cody look good enough, maybe that's what they do.
Yeah, maybe it is what they do. All right, let's talk wide receivers. The top three are entrenched, but now you got all these new backups. Jacob Cowing, Ricky Pearsall, Ronnie Bell is still here. Danny Gray still here. I mean, they might keep six wide receivers. They might keep five. This is going to be a really intense competition. How do you see it shaking out?
Well, really, the question is Brandon Ayuk, right? If we assume that Brandon Ayuk is going to be on this team, then it's obviously to me, if Brandon Ayuk signed and at training camp ready to play, which is a big question at this point, but if he is, it's Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, Juwan Jennings, and I don't see any way possible that Ricky Pearsall and Jacob Cowan aren't on the team. So if they keep five, there's your five right there. And then the real competition is for that sixth spot, because a lot of times, I think last year they kept six. Then you have Danny Gray, Ronnie Bell, Tariq Owens, Tate Martin, Chris Conley, and Trent Taylor. Out of all those guys that I mentioned for that sixth spot, to me, Chris Conley is the unquestionable best one. But roster politics come into play. He's the veteran. They spent draft capital on Danny Gray. They spent draft capital on Ronnie Bell. And so to me, it feels like if there comes down to those guys, they'll probably put Ronnie Bell on the team because he did participate. He does function in special teams. He did okay from what we've seen, and they just spent draft capital on him last year. And they'll probably try to sneak Chris Conley onto the practice squad along with these other guys. So I think it should be Chris Conley. But it's not always a meritocracy. There's a lot of roster politics involved, and I think that's what's going to put Ronnie Bell there. Now, if BA is not there, like if he does the fifth-year option, he's not going to show up and play until he has to. So that opens up the door for two of these guys.
Yeah, I think what's interesting with this group is, like, look, we know Ayuk, Jennings, and Deebo are going to be on the team. Pearsall's going to be on the team. I saw him in camp. He's solid. After that, I have no idea. You assume Jacob Cowing's going to be on the team, but like he just did nothing in OTAs and minicamp. Got hurt immediately, watched. The Niners have a pretty good track record drafting wide receivers with like top 35 picks. Ayuk, Deebo. Kyle seems to be able to see a good top-level wide receiver when he scouts.
Jalen Hurd. Yeah,
but in round three, round four, Jalen Hurd, Danny Gray, Jacob Cowing has a lot to prove. He looks really small. He got hurt right away. Like, why should you make this team over Danny Gray, who was a third round pick drafted higher than you? Ronnie Bell, who caught three touchdown passes last year. That's going to be interesting. Like, who do they keep for the fifth and sixth spot? And is it because and like, do they actually earn it?
Yeah.
Or is it that Willie Snead roster politics? You know what I'm talking about?
I think, honestly, Chris Conley deserves a spot on this team based on how he plays. He's great on special teams. He's great as a receiver. He's a great blocker. Chris Conley really deserves to make this team, especially if they keep six or if Brandon Ayuk. Honestly, if Brandon Ayuk isn't available, Chris Conley is the best player that they should keep. So that's really – I know we talked about Brandon Ayuk till we're blue in the face here, but if he signs a fifth-year option, if they don't extend him, he's not going to be here for 8 weeks. I think you have to put Chris Conley on the team in that case. So I only think you don't need Chris as much when you have Brandon Ayuk, but again, Conley's very good on special teams. It's really going to be determined by Brandon Ayuk. I don't see them not signing Jacob Cowan either. I mean,
Willie Snead's talking about, right? Like, is Chris Conley going to make the team? I mean, he's probably going to earn his way on it. He made a big catch in the Super Bowl. Or are they going to keep Jacob Cowing instead of him because they drafted him this year?
That's what I want to see. I think the Niners are now in a better position than they ever have been, and to where it's like, who cares where I drafted you, right? Yeah. Like, that's where they should be at this point, because their roster is so good that who cares? Make it a complete meritocracy and just play the best player. And that should be Chris Conley, honestly. He should be on this team. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have much hope for Danny Gray. Maybe that's wrong, but I don't.
I mean, it sucks to waste that speed, but like Jacob Cowan, I believe, had the fastest 10-yard, like when they run the 40-yard dash in the combine, his 10 yards was faster than any of these dudes, even the first rounders. So you want to use that athleticism.
Yeah, and I know you want speed on your offense because like Mike McDaniel has it, but like honestly, are you using the speed on your offense? You don't call deep passes very much. You got Brock Purdy as your quarterback. No offense. Like, 4-3 speed on the outside, like for clear out routes. What are we talking about? You're going to throw the dig route to the guy lined up in the slot. It's either going to be the tight end or the slot. I mean, we know that. Or a little check down to the running back. I mean, it's the Kyle Shanahan offense.
So let me ask you this. Is Brandon Ayuk on the team week one? That's my first question for you. Yes or no?
Like, is he suited up, suited and booted? I bet my dad a bottle of wine that he wouldn't be, so I can't start waffling now. No.
That he wouldn't be. Okay.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, Brandon Ayuk's not on, not there. What? How many wide receivers do they keep and who are they?
Pearsall would start in place of him. They'd probably keep five wide receivers, counting on Ayuk to come back and be the sixth. And so those Debo, last Ricky, two would be
Juwan,
Cowing, and I think Conley, Cowing, and Bell. Something like that.
Yeah, that's the thing about Bell. I think if you don't have BA, man, you need Chris Conley. I really think you do. So,
yeah
I don't know, man.
Force their hand.
They have a really deep wide receiver group, and that's a good thing.
They certainly do. Yeah. Tight ends, not necessarily as deep. They got a second. They got a first team All Pro in George Kittle, and after him, they got guys that you couldn't probably pick out on the street. I mean, Mason Plein, Eric Sobert, Cameron Latu, Braden Willis. Someone has to be the backup tight end. Who do you think it's going to be?
I think it's George Kittle.
Ross Welly.
It can't be Ross. No, I think it's George Kittle, Logan Thomas. I think you can lock those.
Logan Thomas, I completely forgot about him.
Yeah, you got to lock those two in my opinion. Those two are the best tight ends out of this group so far. And then it comes down to, so Mason Plein is actually interesting. You see that picture I posted? He was like, he's 6'7". The guy is 6'7", dual sport athlete, great basketball player. He's a really good athlete. So they might have snuck something in here with Mason Plein. I would hate to see them let him go. What we saw from Cam Latu is just a guy not able to catch the ball. Hopefully that's changed. Hopefully he's healthy and he can catch. Braden Willis did get some play. Big holding call in the Super Bowl wasn't great, but he did look okay. If I had to predict, I'm gonna go out on the ledge here. They keep four: George Kittle, Logan Thomas, Braden Willis, and Mason Plein. That's my prediction. Give me your four. Are they keeping four?
Yeah, I think Cam Latu's not making this team.
I don't think so.
When they signed Sobert and Thomas, that was a bad sign for Cam Latu. Yeah. And look, maybe Cam Latu is a hell of a blocker. He might be. I mean, he played linebacker at a certain point at Alabama. But when it comes to, like, catching the ball, there's probably offensive linemen who are better than him. So it'll be interesting to see what he does. But
yeah, who's your four? Who makes it?
It'll be Sobert, Kittle, Thomas, and Willis. Those four. I don't think Mason Plein will make it. I think the Niners, like, the way they feel with undrafted free agents, like, they'll put them on the 53-man roster if they absolutely have to. But if they can get cute and sneak them on the practice squad, I think they'll try to do that. So
yeah,
Plein could be like tearing it up in camp and they could all be saying they love him. And then they go to the preseason and never throw him a pass so that no one knows.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they could do stuff like that. And he still could get poached, but be interesting to see how they, if any undrafted free agents make this team. I'm curious, you know, they kind of take pride in, well, we're a veteran team and we're so good. It'd be impossible when there's going to be a couple guys who earn it.
Man, I'm Mason Plein. The thing about him is he seems like very high ceiling. Like he could be a really good freak athlete. And so I would love to, I hope they don't lose him. At some point, George Kittle needs to be replaced. And I'm not sure if it's Mason Plein that does it, but at some point, George Kittle, you know, 3 years from now. So, I mean, that's a long time from now, but they got to start finding these dudes and developing them. And I hope they don't lose Mason Plein.
Yeah. My thing is, like, I feel what the Niners are looking for. What are they looking for in the number two tight end? I don't even think it's what Logan Thomas brings. It seems like what they've been looking for the last 4 years is someone like
a blocker,
Charlie Werner, who's a blocker first and might catch three passes a year. Garrett Celek is another type. And it's like maybe to free up George Kittle a little bit. So I actually think Eric Sobert's going to play more than Logan Thomas, which is not exciting, but that's the way they do it.
Yeah. They'll probably play Logan Thomas if George Kittle is injured.
Right. Correct.
He's more of his backup.
Agreed.
Yeah, that's
tight end. So they signed Sobert first, didn't they?
Yeah, he was on the team last year. Yeah.
No, he wasn't. Sobert was on the Texans last year. But they signed him first this offseason, I promise.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Got you.
Yeah, I mean, a tight end is another position, like halfback and wide receiver. It's very curious. There's no real who knows. Like, it could be a million different possibilities.
All right, let's take some super chats. Corey Soto, watching receivers reminded me. I haven't watched that yet, but I'm going to. Reminded me of how bad Purdy and the offense was without Debo. Want to pay Brock Purdy $60 million a year? P.S. Devontae hated Jimmy G. Sheesh.
That was interesting. I watched the first episode, man, and man, when I watch quarterback, which is the same, it's the same series. It's just now receivers. But when I watch quarterback, made me a big Kirk Cousins guy, man. Like, you really get to know these guys. Watching receiver, it makes me like really like Kittle and Debo and even St. Brown. Jefferson, he's not as appealing when you watch, but St. Brown, Debo, and George Kittle, you really like those. It really makes you realize how important Kittle is. Kittle is actually very important, I feel like, for this team, for the just the mentality, like the energy that he brings.
Yeah,
like he makes it a relaxing situation. We saw in the Super Bowl, he was goofing off, missed that fumble, and that's kind of the down part of it. But in general, I think he really brings up his teammates and provides the energy. And I really like Kittle after watching the first episode. We'll see how the rest of the series goes. Yeah.
Kyle Levy stands on dumb, says, morning, Iglet and ROG. I'm back in this biash.
What's up, dog?
Michael McCann says, Grant, is there a chance of any disciplinary action from the NFL for BA posting Washington practice video? Asking for a friend, signed Bill Belichick. He probably has a plausible deniability. We were on a FaceTime call. He sent me a picture. I screenshotted it. It's not what you think. I don't have their practice tape.
I think it's more Jaden Daniels that could face disciplinary action. He's the one that allowed Brandon to see it, you know.
And even if it's not like NFL official punishment, it could be like hazing from the veterans on Washington. Like, hey, Rook, what are you doing?
Yeah.
That guy's not on your team.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, rookie hazing's still a thing. They still do that, right? They don't talk about it, but.
They're not supposed to. I'm sure they do to some degree. It's very frowned upon at this point. Yeah.
Oh, frowned upon. Okay. Well, in that case. All right. Let's talk offensive linemen. You got a Hall of Fame left tackle who's almost 36 and a bunch of guys after that. No offense to them. How do you see this one shaking out? I mean, there could be a competition at starting spots, center, right guard. What do you think?
So to me, there's seven locks to me, which is Trent Williams, Aaron Banks, Jake Brendel, Spencer Burford, John Feliciano, Colton McKivitz, and Dominic Pooney. Those guys are locks to me.
Yeah.
And you're right. There's competition possibly at center, right guard. I think right tackle, they're going to give the Colton McKivitz regardless. Aaron Banks will be your left guard, and Trent Williams obviously is your left tackle. So center, right guard, I think there might be some competition, especially because Jake Brendel wasn't really healthy over this last couple months. So we'll see what happens with that. But after that, man, I really think Chris Hubbard is a guy that probably will make this team because they pulled him from the Titans. He's a veteran. He plays right tackle, and they need tackle depth. And then there's Jalen Moore, who also plays tackle. Whereas the first seven dudes I mentioned, there's a lot of interior guys there already, right? Like if they go with Burford, Burford goes down, they got Feliciano, they got Pooney. So they got interior depth already. I think they need some tackle depth. And possibly they go with Chris Hubbard and Jalen Moore, which would put them at nine if they go that route. But there's a lot of other guys. I mean, like Ben Bartsch, Isaac Alarson, Jarrett Kingston, Bison Mays, Drake Nugent, Sebastian Gutierrez, Brandon Parker, Nick Sakelj. A lot of guys.
Yeah, don't sleep on Ben Bartsch.
Okay.
That guy was a fourth-round pick. He's never been on a practice squad. They picked him up last year. He was the starting center in minicamp while Brendel and Feliciano were out, and Brendel and Feliciano are solid, but they're older and they're not great. Like, you could do better. And I think with Brendel in particular, like, what does he do well? Is he someone you put at the point of attack on a run play? No. Is he great at identifying blitzers and setting protections?
Obviously not.
Honestly, not. I mean, he's serviceable. He'll be out there every week, but Ben Bartsch is 6'6", 315. If he could play center, you might actually be able to run inside zone as a in addition to outside zone. So he's someone to watch.
Man, if they upgrade the center position, if Ben Bartsch is an upgrade, I would be thrilled. I don't know too much about him, but that's good to hear. So maybe
real quick, they keep nine or 10? Need to know. He went to St. John's in Minnesota. He was a fourth round pick in 2020. Played the first four seasons of his career with the Jaguars, and the Niners picked him up last year. And you know how Chris Forrester does. He has like these projects. Brendel was a project. Bartsch seems to be a project for him, and they have him playing center. So someone to keep an eye on.
I mean, talent-wise, he's supposed to be more talented if he's drafted at that position compared to Brendel, who was, what, undrafted free agent, I believe?
Yes, that's correct.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Yeah, so I mean, hopefully the talent's there and it translates.
I think he played offensive tackle in college. He's almost 6'6". But now he's playing center, and he's, I guess, been working on this for a while. And if he can pull it off, he's going to be quite physically imposing for that position.
That's great to hear, man. Do you think they keep 9 or 10? What do you think they do?
I think they keep 9. And let's say it's the starters. And the backup 4 would be, oh, man, Pooney.
I mean, who's even starting, though? Who's starting? The guys from last year? Is that
what the guys from last year, I suppose.
Okay.
But you could have Pooney and Bartsch and Jalen Moore and Kingston on the bench. Am I forgetting someone?
Would it be Burford on the bench too?
Burford. Yikes. Yeah, someone's going to get pushed off this team. Maybe Kingston doesn't make it and he goes to the practice squad.
Kingston. Yeah. What about Jalen Moore versus Chris Hubbard? Chris Hubbard is a veteran tackle.
I don't have a backup tackle on the team, do I?
No, that's what I mean. Like, so to me, it's got to be either Chris Hubbard or Jalen Moore. One of those guys.
But their backup tackles aren't good.
Jalen Moore hasn't been good, but Chris Hubbard, from what I've heard, seems to be pretty decent. So maybe he's the plan. I don't know. That's hard to predict.
Yikes.
And they got like 17 dudes.
Not good, Ryan. It doesn't really matter who they keep at this point. It's still bad.
It's kind of a hodgepodge of characters. Yeah.
Maybe Pooney could play a little backup tackle if you needed him to.
I don't know, man.
I mean, they always said, I don't know.
Out of the guys on the team, give me your ideal starting 5. I can give you mine, I think.
I would like to see Banks at left guard, Bartsch at center. I'd like to see Burford take the next step and play right guard, and I guess McKivitt's a right tackle. Burford has had so much experience. He's still only 23 years old. When you watch the tape, he clearly needs to get stronger, but maybe this is the year he just gets a lot stronger. And if he does, Forster says it. He's much more athletic than the other guys there. He just needs to improve a little bit. Maybe this is the year. Perfect.
You think Pooney's then it's a development year for Pooney?
Yeah, I think it's tough for rookie offensive linemen to play right away unless they're like blue chip first rounders. I know Burford did, but not like full time. He split time with Brunskill, and frankly, Brunskill was better than him. So Pooney might be in a rotation, but I can't see him being able to play guard for 17 games plus the playoffs as a rookie. It just seems a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does. Yeah. That developing into like 17 games after what do they play in the college? 8? Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. So.
All right.
They should probably get some better players at this position. Let's talk WNBA for a minute because it's always an easy transition to my picks.
Yeah.
You saw Caitlin Clark went dumb the other day.
She did.
Yeah. I like picking Caitlin Clark sleeper picks. Let's go WNBA, Caitlin Clark. Now she's a, what I like is picking on the assists because she is.
Dude, she's over every last four
every
games.
Time. Over.
Yeah.
It was like a couple weeks ago they had her down to like 7.5, but they're starting to come around that she's a point guard. Points based, could go either way.
Based on the assists and the last four games, she's over that. I think that's the easiest selection.
I would think it's easy. So I'm going with that one. That's easy money. Now let's go Angel Reese, and I'm thinking rebounds. Let's see rebounds. 12.5. Like they're now fouling her so she can get extra rebounds.
12.5 rebounds is a lot, man. That's a lot. I think I would go under. I just don't.
Yeah. Nothing against Angel. She's terrific. But that's a lot. Okay. Who else we like here? Brianna Stewart for sure. She's at the top of her game. Assists, points. Let's see points. Rebounds.
Show me the assists again.
Show me the assists again. Oof, 3.5. She's selfish.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know.
She's
man.
A finisher, not a distributor.
I don't know, dude. What would you do on this one?
I'm Young flummoxed. I don't flummoxed. Feel confident.
Yeah.
Points, rebounds, and assists. She's an all-around player.
Yeah, and they seem like they do a great job of like making this tough.
They do. It's rough. Yeah.
I don't know if I see any trends here. There's really no trends here. Like you're guessing.
I think she's going to get 9.5 boards today. I think so.
Okay.
I mean, look at her. Does she seem like someone who doesn't mean business? Look at her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, 6'4". Let's go.
I think she's going to throw at least 8 bows today.
Let's give it to her. Over.
Let's give it to her. One more, and then we'll get back to football. Sabrina Ionescu, just because she has a great name. Ionescu. Points. Rebounds. Threes.
Wait, go back.
Go
back to where you just were. PRA. Points, rebounds, assists. Go back to that.
Points, rebounds, and assists. Okay.
Under.
Never going to make it.
Not going to do it.
No. It's funny what a good name. Everyone thinks she's going to hit. No. Just because her name is Ionescu. Nope. We're hating today. The player haters of the year. Those are the picks I want to make today. 3. Flex it. 4. Those are what we're doing. Boom. And if you want to play, use the promo code on the screen, the QR code or code COHN, and you can hit me up and I'll Venmo you $10. There's, see that little thing in the top left corner? That's a guy DMing me his Venmo stuff so I can give him $10 because I'm just generous. I'm the tooth fairy. I'm the sleeper fairy. That didn't come out right.
Don't tell Underdog Fantasy because they are sponsoring my show, but I signed up for sleeper picks yesterday under your promo code.
Oh, thank you so much. I will not tell them.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate you. Okay. Let's get back to the Niners. Go defense. Defensive lineman. Nick Bosa, most likely going to make the team. Mm-hmm. Javon Hargrave, probably going to make the team too, although this could be his last year with them. And then we're going to find out about the new guys. Malik Collins, who didn't do anything in OTAs and minicamp. Jordan Elliott, who I don't think did anything in OTAs or minicamp. And then the new DNs, Floyd Gross-Matos. What do you want to know, see, hear?
Another tough one, man. So if I break them like position group, like defensive ends, I have Nick Bosa, Leonard Floyd, Yetur Gross-Matos making the team locks. If I go defensive tackle, I have Javon Hargrave, Malik Collins, and Jordan Elliott making the team locks. That's 6 guys. But when you're looking at your defensive ends, you got Drake Jackson and Robert Beal, who I think the 49ers are going to have a tough time walking away from. So I feel like those guys are definitely in contention to make this team. Austin Bryant seems to be a hell of a good prospect at the defensive end position. So those 3 guys, Austin Bryant, Drake Jackson, Robert Beal, are interesting to me. You still have Raymond Johnson, Sam Okeanu, I hope I did that right, and Alex Barrett also at defensive end.
Yeah.
Then they got the UDFA Evan Anderson at defensive tackle, and I don't know who Shaquille Brown is, but they also got Khalil Davis and Kevin Givens and T.Y. McGill. So Do you do this together when you do this, or do you separate them?
I'll do it together. I would take they probably take 10 D linemen. So Bosa, Collins, Hargrave, Floyd, Gross Matos, Givens, Elliott, Jackson's 8, and then Robert Beal is 9. And then it would come down to Kalia Davis or T.Y. McGill or Evan Anderson. Be 10.
Okay.
Maybe Evan Anderson is the UDFA who makes the team, because it's not like Kalia Davis has really done much, and T.Y. McGill's in his 30s.
What I like about Evan Anderson, he's an undrafted free agent, but he is a physical, they don't have a lot of guys like this on the team. It's a big ass dude, like a traditional nose tackle type of player. So hopefully Evan Anderson can, they need that. They need a run stuffer.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. It's like they went and got Leonard Floyd this year. It's like, that's a great addition. Hell of a pass rusher, not going to help their run defense. So still got to address that.
Yeah. So I'm hoping Evan Anderson is that dude, because he's built like it, and they need that traditional run stuffer type player. And maybe he's the guy, but the only ones I have locks are Hargrave, Collins, Elliott, Bosa, Floyd, and Matos, with Drake Jackson and Robert Beal highly likely making the team as well. So it's an open competition, man. Something to be watching.
Yeah. It's interesting to see who's going to make the team, but I'm also curious, like, who's going to start on this D line? Because to me, I wouldn't start Leonard Floyd. He's 32. He's more comfortable in a 2-point stance than a 3-point stance. Keep him fresh for passing downs. You're not paying him 3-down money anyway. You got Yetur Gross-Matos. He's 6'5", 260 something. Like, that should be your starter base end who can actually stuff the run. And then next to Javon Hargrave, I would want a run stuffing specialist as well. Like, Hargrave doesn't stop the run very well. He's a pass rusher. So is that Collins or is that Jordan Elliott? You know, maybe Elliott and Gross-Matos should start, and Collins and Floyd should split the snaps 50-50, but play more when it's passing time. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing we know is Javon Hargrave and Nick Bosa are going to be starting. That's the only thing we really know about this position group. The rest of the stuff is kind of in the air. You would assume Leonard Floyd will be there on third downs. But I don't know, man. This is another
position. We're going to need to see a little more from Javon Hargrave too, man. You were uninspiring last year. Sorry.
He tweeted out something about, like, taking notes on stuff.
Cool. Like, fine. Yeah. You use me as motivation. I've been rude. Whatever it is, man. Like, you need to play better. I don't know. It's fine. Good. Yeah.
That's why you're here. Quality control. Inspire these guys.
I know it sucks. Like, that's the it's great to get paid generational money, $21 million a year. Who's going to say no to that? But you can't just have a blah season and people are going to notice. $21 million, man. You got to do better. Because it's not like you're stopping the run. You got to be more impactful as a pass rusher.
He said he was out of shape. He admitted that.
He said that.
Yeah. So hopefully he comes in.
That's what you do. You get a huge signing bonus, and a team sets you up for life, and you just kind of trick off one season at the end of your prime. Okay. All right. Hey, look, no one's perfect, but this would be a great year to bounce back.
Yeah. I mean, and he has that potential, obviously. He was really good on the Eagles, man.
Yeah.
So bring it back. Bring it back, Javon. We need it, brother.
Also, to his, in his defense, he had his best years in Philly on a 5-man line where he was kind of protected and getting 1-on-1 matchups. And now he's in a wide 9. So
yeah,
maybe some of this is on the Niners, like kind of like signing a zone corner like Nnamdi or a man to man corner like Nnamdi and asking him to play zone or in the slot and being surprised when it doesn't work out, which is what Philly did. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's some of that too.
Well, I'm hoping a big comeback year from Javon. That's what I'm hoping for.
Now that they brought in Brandon Staley, he used a lot of 5-man lines over at wherever he's been, the two LA places. Leonard Floyd's been on 5-man lines. It'll be interesting to see if the Niners have that as a changeup, because like the whole wide 9 thing is like, it's supposed to supercharge your pass rush, right? Niners were 20th in sack rate last year. And you're having this gimmick front to supercharge your pass rush, which it isn't doing. And you know you're going to sacrifice a little run defense to get that. Well, if the pass rush isn't really doing anything, why don't you have a 5-man in front that you can go to that isn't going to get absolutely destroyed on the ground?
That's the biggest need for the 49ers. I mean, offensive line, obviously, on the offensive side. But on the defensive side, it's stopping the run. And that's the one thing. If they can improve, this defense can really ramp up. You know, maybe Hufanga coming back is going to help with that too, but that's what I want to see more than anything, is then figure out how to stop the run. And maybe it's get out of the wide nine sometimes.
You know, when we would ask Kyle Shanahan last year about the defense, and we would kind of insinuate, like, you know, is it the front or is it the DNs not setting the edge? And he always likes to kind of yeah, but people are, well, actually people, because he's the smartest guy. And he's like, well, actually, it's more the secondary. The issue is sort of more in the secondary. And in football, it's a lot of things. And I think when he's talking about that, he was talking about the loss of Hufanga, because Hufanga is a real asset to the run defense, for sure. To the defense in general.
He is. And he was just ranked the 9th best safety in the NFL. So we'll see, man. I hope Huff comes back and is healthy and is better than ever, man. That would be fantastic for this defense.
I feel like Huff is one of the more over-criticized players in the team because he's not super fast. And he did give up a bunch of touchdowns in 2022 when he was an all-pro. He gave up like 6 touchdowns. But last year, he gave up 1. He still was making plays. He's still young. If he makes a full recovery, he should have a really good career. I don't know.
I believe he led the team in takeaways, or at least was tied. So, I mean, that's the biggest thing on defense. You could take the ball away from on defense. That's a game changer, man. We need that help back. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, linebackers. Dre Greenlaw, probably going to start the season on the physically unable to perform list, which means he would miss the first 4 games. He'll come back eventually. Devondre Campbell here in his place until he comes back. And then you got a bunch of young guys. Mm-hmm. How do you see this one shaking out?
Well, obviously, you know, if Dre's not there, that changes things. You're going to have Fred Warner and Devondre Campbell, that they're going to be on the team. And then really the guys that you look at, even though I like Curtis Robinson, I've never seen anything from Ezekiel Turner. I don't think they're really in this competition. I think after Fred Warner, Devondre Campbell, and obviously Dre Greenlaw, the battle is between the Dante Johnson of linebackers and Demetrius Flanagan Fowles. He has definite special teams contribution, and he seems to always make the team. So he has a high possibility of making it. But then you got Jalen Graham, D Winners, and who I really like that the 49ers got this year in the 7th round is Tatum Bethune. Like, from what I've seen from him, he played at Florida, and I have a friend at Florida State, right? I had a friend that went to school there, and he was more excited about Bethune about that night. He's a Niner fan and a Florida State alumni. He was more excited about the 49ers getting Bethune than he was them getting Ricky Pierce Hall, for whatever that means. Like, he's like, Tatum Bethune is a guy. Like, so he was excited about that. So maybe he can do it. But again, he's one of them rookies, right? Do the Niners go with a rookie linebacker? I don't know. They probably try the practice squad more than likely. And Demetrius Flanagan Fowles always seems to make the team. He's a good special teams player. So you would think it's between him, Jalen Grahams, or D Winners.
When they took D Winners last year, everyone was like, oh, Scott could be the next Dre Greenlaw, kind of similar. And then they sort of redshirted him. Greenlaw did not redshirt. He was the Sam linebacker right away. But then this offseason, Fred Warner said, oh, D Winners, most improved player, best player on the defense. Like, I think he's what he said. He was really raving about that second year guy. So they need D Winners to step up. Devondre Campbell, you know exactly what he's going to give you. He's not going to be that good. He wasn't even their first choice. The Packers were done with him. If D Winners could step up, this would make the Niners defense so much better, because Campbell's like the weakness. He could be this year's Isaiah Oliver. Even if they do want to start him, he could play himself off the field by halftime. They need D Winners.
Yeah. And Jalen Graham, from what I saw, Jalen Graham in preseason, he looks really good, man. He's actually, I want to say a different word, because I don't like saying he excites me, because it's not really appropriate, but he, when I watch him, I'm like, I like Jalen Graham. I'll put it that way. He's intriguing. So I like Jalen Graham, man. And like you said, D Winners, a lot of high-end talent there. But Demetrius Flanagan Fowles always seems to make this team. He'll probably end up making
it. He absolutely does. I mean, Robert Saleh coached that man. He's been around for a long time, and he's a really good special teams player. I don't think they think he has that much potential as a linebacker, but they also probably feel he's solid and knows the system. So D Winners and Jalen Graham going to have to play really, really well to take that spot from Flanagan Fowles. He's probably like the favorite to be the third guy right now after Campbell and Warner.
Like I said, DFF is the new Dante Johnson.
DFF.
Yeah, DFF.
You've heard of PFF? Get to know DFF. Okay, let's go safeties. This is really interesting to me, because the backup safeties, like George Odom in particular, he's not really even a safety. Like, he's a special teams ace. Yeah. And particularly on kickoffs. And now kickoffs are hold. Like, he was great because on that sprint down the field, he'd be the first one down. Mm-hmm. And he'd make the tackle. Now there's no sprint. It's like a 10-yard little shuffle. So is he still the special teams ace? I don't know. Well, how do you see the safety position?
Honestly, Grant, this is the easiest position to me. I think all four are locked already, and it's, they might as well not even show up to training camp, really. Talanoa Hufanga, Jair Brown, Malik Mustafa, and George Odom. Running and tackling is still going to be important, even if it's a different format for the kickoff. I think those guys make it. I don't think Eric Harris, Taylor Hawkins, or Jalen Mahoney, whoever that is, has much of a chance to make this team. I think it's a lock. Huff, Jair Brown, Malik Mustafa, George Odom, out of every position group outside of kicker, punter, and long snapper and fullback, this is the easiest one for me to predict. I think those guys are locked if healthy.
Okay, here's the question. I'm with you. Will, by the end of the season, will Tashawn Gibson be on the roster?
If one of these guys goes down and it's after week 8, absolutely. Yeah. I think Gibson is on the roster. Him or they might sign Simmons. In that situation, he's available as well. But
Gibson's a
reliable guy, knows the defense. But Simmons is, I don't know, it's hard. Like, Gibson is that guy that always gets the job done, but he's still always underrated, a little undervalued, underappreciated. But he is getting older. So Niners have money to spend. They might want to go with Simmons in that situation, but there's a good chance they go with Gibson. But hopefully all these guys stay healthy and it's not an issue.
Simmons is interesting. He's like a top level safety. He still hasn't signed. He's 30 years old. I wonder if he's just like not trying to do training camp. You know, he's like, you know,
yeah,
I'll sign somewhere in September. Like, and I'll just say I didn't get the right offer. Cause
who's the guy? I can't remember his name. The Super Bowl winner for the Patriots that we signed like at the very end of the season last year. What's his name?
Logan Ryan.
There we go. Logan Ryan. So Simmons might be in the Logan Ryan role this year for a team where he shows up for the playoffs. Like, championships probably his concern at this point.
Okay, let's talk cornerbacks.
Very deep class,
extremely deep.
This team is hella good, man. When you go through this roster and you look at it, like, they are super talented, man. Like, I think they're ranked number one by multiple sources again this year. Part of the thing when I watched that receiver show, it's like you just realize how good of a roster this was and what a shame it was they weren't able to pull it off last year. But this year, they're just as good, honestly, if not better. And you know Charvarius Ward and D'Amador Lenore are going to make this team, obviously. It's a shame that Demo hasn't been extended at this point. It's really a surprise to me. But maybe it's his doing because he's smart enough to bet on himself because he's going to get paid a ton of money next year. But Charvarius Ward, Demo, Bernardo Green, all three of those guys are locks. I would assume Isaac Yeadom is pretty close to being a lock as well. And then really, to me, the battle is Rocky Sin, Ambry Thomas, and Darrell Luter, who I think actually might be the guy. I think Darrell Luter might actually jump over Ambry and Rocky Sin. I'm not sure Chase Lucas, Keeman Hall, or Womack, unfortunately, have a chance. Even though when Womack plays, he flashes. I just, some about him, they don't really like. Maybe he's a hot or cold guy. He's either going to make a huge play or he's going to give up a huge play, one of the two. I don't know, but if I had to bet, Charvarius Ward, D'Amador Lenore, Renardo Green, Isaac Yeadom, and I'm going to go with Darrell Luter. Those are my five, and depends on how many they keep beyond that.
That sounds good to me. I think the one thing that's too bad about the Niners firing Steve Wilks is that he was a legitimate, like, really good DB coach. Look at how much Charvarius Ward improved in 1 year with Steve Wilks, and D'Amador Lenore as well. It'd been nice to have Wilks coach Renardo Green. Like, look, you say what you want about Steve Wilks. Maybe he wasn't the right defensive coordinator. People didn't buy in. Sure, whatever, fine. He's the best DB coach they've had in years. He got results. And anyway, that's kind of a tangent. I like Renardo Green. I think he's probably going to start at nickel. Even if, like last year, you could do whatever you want. You could start the veteran, Isaiah Oliver or Isaac Yiadom, but if he's a weakness, he'll get exposed in a quarter or two, and you'll have to play the best player. So I think that's going to be Green.
Yeah, and And I'm really impressed with Luter, man. I think he is going to make this team. I think he might be the next Demo in that regard, like a guy late rounder and who works his way up and becomes a guy. I feel like Luter could be that guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, well, special teams.
Jake Moody.
I mean, we know Moody's going to be the kicker, which now he's going to be the punter, but like the returner, just a whole different thing.
That one I'm really curious about. And don't forget my guy, Tabor Pepper. We can't leave him out. Long snapper. And also fullback, Kyle Juszczyk. But as far as the return man, I have no idea at this point. Who is your best guess for return man for the 49ers?
I think Garendo is going to be the kick returner. Or they'll try. It doesn't mean that he'll necessarily do well. But I think everyone in the league is baffled as to what they're supposed to be looking for at this, like at that position with skill set. And I think they look at him as like, well, he did it a little bit in college and maybe this is going to be more of like a running play. I mean, there's going to be less velocity. It's more like running into an offensive line or a defensive line. And maybe you want someone a little bit bigger who can get some yards after contact. I don't know what they're thinking, but I think it's going to be him.
I love his speed, but what concerns me is what you said about his hesitation. Like, I don't know if you can hesitate and be a good return man. So, I don't know. I mean, hopefully it is because he's freaky athletic, like ridiculous athleticism. And if he can break through, nobody's catching him. So that's the plus on him. But I just don't know because of the hesitation thing that you brought up. I don't know if you can hesitate. And honestly, Grant, when they get to these big games, like particularly the postseason, the playoffs, I expect somebody like Debo
to
be back there. Yeah.
Or Christian.
Yeah, I could see it.
Yeah.
So that's
we still have no idea like what skill set's going to play back there. Is it a fast wide receiver who makes one cuts and go, or is it a guy who can string multiple cuts together and break tackles? Like, what do
they know? They don't know. I'm actually thrilled about the new kickoff rules. I'm excited about it. It's going to make the game better. Like 25% of kickoffs were returned in previous seasons. Now they expect it to be flipped. 75% are going to be actually returned is what they expect now because of the new rules. So it's going to make the game a lot more exciting. It's different. I think you're going to have a lot more breakaways, a lot more touchdowns on kick returns. So I'm excited about it. And what else is cool is teams don't know what the hell they're doing, honestly, at this point. It's going to be trial and error, and so that's going to create interesting dynamics in games. Like, games are going to be won and lost because of this kick return thing, and I think that's interesting.
Yeah. I have a prediction. The Niners are going to go to the Super Bowl, and this time they're going to lose it because Kyle Shanahan didn't quite understand the rules for the special teams.
Damn. Yeah. Yeah, you know.
That's going to be the new way. Like, well, somehow this special teams rule is going to screw the Niners this year. Somehow. They're going to have the best team, and something on special teams is going to screw them. Can't wait.
It's interesting. A lot of teams are going with, like, rugby, or a lot of teams. I think the Chiefs got a rugby guy because it's going to be similar to rugby, I think. I'm really looking forward to seeing how the kickoff rules play. I think it's going to make this year a lot more exciting than previous seasons because usually when a kickoff happens, that's when I go get a snack or whatever, man. Like, because it's like a commercial break, essentially. Nothing happens.
I got one more thing I want to say about special teams before we move on. Well, we got to talk punt returner. Who thinks going to be the punt returner? Trent Taylor?
I mean, it could be.
When Trent Taylor makes the team, what's going to be your instant reaction?
He's not making the team.
There's no way. You sure?
He's not. He's just going to live at George Kittle's house and be on the practice squad. It might be Ricky Pearsall, man. It could be Ricky returning points. Honestly, it could be him, or if Ronnie makes the team, it could be Ronnie. Even though Ronnie scares the hell out of me when he catches the punts, but we'll see. I think it's probably Ricky. I think it's going to be Ricky.
Probably Ricky. He's going to be the designated fair catcher.
Yeah, I think that's going to be him. Right.
Yeah.
I think they're going to try to give him that role, especially if BA's on the team. They're going to want to get Ricky involved as much as they can, and I think it'll probably be him as a punt returner. That's my guess.
Okay, last one. Jake Moody. There's no competition. Remember last year there was a competition, Zane Gonzalez? Hilarious.
Yeah.
It's Jake's job, but Jake, you're not inspiring a lot of confidence, okay? You have a lot to prove, because if you start missing field goals early in the season, they're going to have to find someone else, man. Like, you are barely good enough. You have a strong leg. But the issue with him is, how is he going to do under pressure? Gould was really good at that.
Yeah. I think with Moody, man, he you know, what is it? Trial by fire or whatever. Like, he's been through the gauntlet. I mean, the guy, as a rookie, started for the 49ers all season long, went through the playoffs, played in the Super Bowl. Like, after last season, his rookie season, coming in his sophomore year, he should be way more comfortable, way more at ease. The guy played in the Super Bowl. I feel like he's going to make an improvement this season, because it was all mental. The guy has the talent. It's just he got in his head, I feel like, at times. I think he's going to improve this year, I would hope.
I would hope as well. Niners too. Well,
yeah.
That's our show. Thanks for watching. Ryan G. Hensley, Grant L. Cohn. Make sure you like and subscribe to the channel and his channel and the stream, and follow my Facebook group, which is in the thing, and do all that.
Facebook group?
Yeah, I started a Facebook group.
Awesome, dog. That's great, baby. Bro.
Yeah. I got like 1,300 followers in a week. That's what I'm talking about.
Hell yeah.
Hey, hell yeah.
Can I say this? I'm at like 9,700 something subscribers. I got to get to 10,000 before the end of the freaking, before the season starts. That's been my goal. Yeah. I hate not hitting my goals. If you're not subscribed to my channel, please do.
Yeah. Do that. Get Ryan to 10K. It's time.
Got to hit my goal.
Got to hit his goal, man. You guys love Ryan. Let's make this happen. Thanks for watching, everyone. I'll see you guys later.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.